precious name of Jesus this morning. A name so precious it merits coming from wherever you come from in your life to gather and adore his name. And I trust this morning that as we spend time together, that it would be worship acceptable to Jesus. You may turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It's a very familiar story to many of us, I believe. Yet I was impressed as I was meditating on this story again, the things that we can learn. I'm going to read the verses, and then I'll give an introduction to the message. So John chapter 4, we're going to read from verse 1 to 26. John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that you, being a Jew, ask drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that said to you, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said unto him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From where then do you have that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever shall drink of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Jesus said unto her, Go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, You have well said, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. And that you said truly. The woman said unto him, Sir, I believe that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. For the hour cometh and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And then came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no one said, What seekest thou, or why are you talking with her? So in this story, we have Jesus just on a journey, coming through Samaria. He's thirsty. He sits by the well. It's noon. And this lady come to draw water. And he took that natural situation and brought it into a spiritual conversation. My title this morning is The Well is Deep. El título, El Pozo es Profundo. And we're talking about several wells this morning. The first one I want to look at is the well of the heart. And I'm going to read a little bit from 1 John chapter 2. Keep your finger here in John 4. We're going to be back to it. John has a very compelling summary, very concise summary. It describes the well of the heart. So 1 John 2, I'm going to read verses 15 to 17. He says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Take those thoughts and bring them back into the context of John 4. He says the world is the lust of the flesh. We could say the human nature. It's what we're driven to. The lust of the eyes. You know, there's so many things we see that we are drawn to. Whether this is moral temptation, or whether this is riches that appeal. The pride of life. And as I was reading, as I was studying for this, I learned something in that phrase that I did not understand before. The pride of life, as you look at the words it came from, is actually talking about a feeling of self-sufficiency in our way of living. It's, you know, maybe that's our livelihoods. Maybe that's our church subculture. Maybe that's the way I run my business, or the way I present myself in society. But a feeling of self-sufficiency in the way I am living. So we're gonna look a little more detail now at the well of the heart as we look at these three points. So when Jesus asked the woman for drink, he piqued her interest, he got her interest, and then he started showing her what was in the well of her heart. Right away he said, "Bring your husband, and let's come and let's learn." He touched on something that was a problem in this woman's life. She was out living for the lusts of the flesh. She was living, trying to find a security in life. And you know what? This well was deep. She tried with one man. It didn't work. She tried with another man. It didn't work. She tried with a third one, a fourth one, and a fifth one. And she is still seeking fulfillment in her life. She's not finding it. She's seeking it amongst the lusts of the flesh. I think about the lusts of the flesh. Draw on some more examples here. You know, many times today, mankind, and I'm not exempting us when I say this, we have the same human tendencies, is looking for fulfillment to fill an emptiness in entertainment. And you know, maybe that starts with a sport out on the ball field, the soccer field, whatever it is. But as I look at the sports industry of today, it has grown to be bigger and bigger adrenaline rushes. You can play soccer for recreation, but to fill a void, people have gone to things. Well, we have lots of sports today. We have bungee jumping, skydiving, water skiing. Just things to let the adrenaline run. Or you can go into the rodeos and bull riding or fill in the blanks. It's because people are trying to fill the well of their heart with activity, with things that they have to keep going deeper and deeper and deeper to try to fill what they have, what they don't have in their heart, really. Or maybe it's a desire to be popular. You know, I will dress in this fashion. I will spend a couple $100 for this outfit because I want you to think well of me. I want you to think, when you look at me, think I have everything under control. It's because they're trying to fill the well of their heart. And again, we face these same struggles. Maybe I have to, the vehicle I drive, maybe it needs to be measure up to something that somebody else is driving. Or the apartment, the house. It needs to look like so-and-so's does. In English, sometimes we say keeping up with the Joneses, or, you know, keeping up with the elite. It's because there is a well that is not full. The well of the heart. Focus a little more on the lust of the eyes. Matthew 6, I don't think we're going to take time to turn to it, verses 21 to 23 says, the light of the body is the eye. What you look at is what you are filling yourself with, Matthew 6, 21. Actually, maybe I will read it here real quick. Matthew 6, 21 to 23. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Where you place your eyes tells you a lot, tells a lot about you. What catches your attention? What are you thinking about? You know, where you put your eyes tells a lot about what you're thinking about. We have in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David placing his eyes on Bathsheba. It says she was washing herself. She was bathing. And he looked at her. There was a well of lust that David tried to fill. He saw her and he said, I'm the king. Nobody should keep anything from me. And he called her into his palace, into his bedroom. And he sexually sinned with her. And then to try to hide it, he sent her back home. But it wouldn't hide. Soon the message came, I'm pregnant. David had started himself on a journey, the well of lust. It started with a look. It didn't stop there. That was telling where his heart was. It went to his bedroom, and now she's pregnant. And he kept going down the road until the point that he had her husband murdered so that he could bring her into the palace. And people would have to second guess at best to know that this baby conceived before she was brought into the palace. The lust of the eyes, there's a well. And I want you to hear the message that if the heart is not filled with the right thing, we are going to keep filling it and keep filling it with something. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We like to feed ourselves the line that we can think things, but that's not me. That's not true. What we think is who we are. What we spend our time thinking about is who we are. I had a flight instructor. He was actually in a very liberal Mennonite setting. But I don't believe the man was a Christian. And I say that because of the things that came to his mind. His mind was full of women. His desire was to go where there was exposed women. It was lust. It was impurity. I trained with him, and I have not seen him much since. But today, I really doubt if he has built himself a holy life. Not unless he's repented and come to God. Because what we think is who we are. Jesus said it this way. I'm kind of moving on to the point, the pride of life. I think I'll turn to those verses. Matthew 23, verse 24 to 28. Matthew 23, verse 24. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Matthew 23:24-28. Okay. This is Jesus addressing the leaders, Jewish leaders. He is talking to the people that should have known. They knew who, what they should have been living. They knew what the expectation was. But he said, you're making the outside good. It looks so appealing. And yet inside it is just dirty. It's full of He used the word extortion. It's full of wickedness and excess. Excess, maybe just carrying the idea of carrying things too far. He goes on to say, it's like a sepulcher. You can make it look so clean and white on the outside. It can be an attraction on the outside. But inside it has dead men's bones. The pride of life. I think all of us are tempted with this one. To have the appearance having everything together. Or maybe just to be comfortably coasting along in what's expected of us from around us. But what is inside? What's in the well? What's finally in the well of your heart? This is the question. Way down inside, is there living water? Is there that water that's rejuvenating, that's attaching you to Jesus? I'm going to move on to the well of the Spirit. And this point actually came to me as part of a discussion just before the service here. The well of the Holy Spirit. John 7 verses 37 to 39. John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. The well of the Spirit. When Jesus was here, he said, come to me and drink. This is the same water he was offering to the Samaritan woman in John 4. He said, if you come to me, you come hear me, you come follow me. Learn from what I tell you. Follow what I tell you. And you will have your well of your heart filled up by the well of the Spirit. You know, where the well of the heart, different times I referred to as being deep and empty, needing to be filled. The well of the Spirit is gushing out and overflowing to fill us. It will fill our hearts. Jesus says here, come to me. And it's interesting to me, verse 39, that he said, come to me. He was saying that because the Spirit was not yet here. So come to me. Today the message would be, come accept the Spirit. Come accept me and receive the Spirit. And I will fill you, he's saying. Had a good friend, Carlos, for years. Some of you would have known him. We met him in Harrisburg. And one of the things that impressed me in his early Christian walk was he would pick up the Bible, he would read it, and he would come explain the passage to me, say, this passage, this is what this means, right? And I would say, right, that is what that passage means. He was not a Bible scholar. He was not somebody that would have grown up with a Bible. And yet as he read it, you could tell the Spirit was in his life because the understanding was there. It would speak to him. It would fill him up. And so here Jesus is in John 4. He first of all points out to the woman that the well of her heart is empty. What she's trying to fill it with is not working. And then he says, the well of the Spirit will quench that thirst. Receive me, receive the Spirit into your life, and you will find satisfaction for your thirst. And the woman's reaction is, how can I get it? I want this. I'm tired of this daily grind. She's somewhat confused here yet. I'm tired of this daily grind of coming out every day to fill my bucket with water. And Jesus tells her, this is going to fill more than your bucket. This is going to fill your life. And so she ran to tell other people. I can see the Spirit just starting to come in. Because she's going, she's saying, come, come, here's a man. Isn't this the Christ? Come hear him. And so they came. And it goes beyond the story that I read here, but they came. And that well of the Spirit that started flowing started filling the lives of others. Started filling and giving, you know, the testimony at the end of this story, which I don't think I'm going to take time to look at, is now we believe because we heard him ourselves. Many people, the well of the Spirit just filled their lives as they stood there and listened to Jesus. Okay, I'm going to touch on another well. This one is another one a bit on the negative side. The well of worldly knowledge. And this was one of the things that actually did generate the burden for this message. The well of the worldly knowledge. Google has this statistic about themselves. Our knowledge graph database contains more than 5 billion real-world people and places and things with over 500 billion facts. So this database, this collection of data, contains 500 billion facts that are free for you to search, to uncover, to find answers to questions that you have. And I think this is just one, probably just, I didn't dig into what this knowledge graph is, but probably just one piece of the whole Google information ecosystem. They also say they process 99,000 search queries every second. So every second, and this is just one of the search engines out there. They're not the only ones taking the search queries of people looking for answers, trying to find answers in life. This translates to 2 trillion global searches per year. 2 trillion. That's a trillion. Trillion is a big number. That's a million times a million, right? 2 trillion global searches per year. That means the average person conducts between 3 and 4 searches each day. Looking for information. And you know, there are pieces of information that are legitimate to go search out on Google. I do Google searches. I don't believe I'm exempt from this average of 3 or 4 searches per day. I do Google searches. But people also are receiving advice on their spiritual lives from the worldly knowledge. And that does not fill up. You will find watered down answers. They may be coming from churches. They may be coming from sources that look like they should be reputable. But there is, when it comes to our spiritual lives, brothers and sisters, the answer is here. It's in the Bible. This is where you can safely find answers to your life. Worldly wisdom is a deep well. There's a lot of facts there. There's a lot of things there. But there's a lot of darkness there. There's a lot of deceit there. As I was looking up these facts, one of the side things that came up, a search that people make, is on Google. Does Google have all the answers? And another one, are all Google's answers right? They're asking Google if Google's answers are right. Thankfully, somebody did respond to that and said that, believe it or not everything on Google is accurate, because it treats various sources alike. Okay, moving on, a well of life. I'm going to turn to John 17. And this just kind of summarizes what Jesus demonstrated in John 4. So this is Jesus. He's praying to God on behalf of the disciples. Jesus knows that he's leaving the earth very soon. His disciples are going to stay. He also knows that when he leaves, the Spirit is going to come and fill their lives. But this is his prayer to God. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Brothers and sisters, if you want to allow a well to fill you, look for this well of life. This goes hand in hand with the point on the well of the Spirit. True life is found in Jesus. In the Word of Jesus. You know, as we dig into the Word of Jesus, we find answers for life that the world doesn't tell us. We find answers to the sin problem. You and I are in the beginning of this message. We have hearts. We're born with hearts that have a human nature. Everybody since Adam was born with this nature. And this nature wants what feels good to me. This nature cares about me more than about everybody else. The good that this nature does for others is to elevate me. But Jesus says, as we look into his word is truth, and his word will teach us that we need to give up what's in our hearts. We need to come to Jesus, give it all to Jesus. And we need to tell Jesus, now you fill it. I am yours. I am going to follow you. And we can do that as we read the Bible, as we read his word and find out what he wants us to do. And I would love to spend more time on that theme, but that's a message in itself. What is it that Jesus wants of your life? Well, first and foremost, he wants your commitment and your worship. The well is deep, and it's beautiful that this well is deep. The more we dig into what Jesus wants, the more we commit to him, the more we feel his presence, the more we feel his guidance. I've known old men who studied the Bible all their lives, and yet their testimony was, as I read, I learn new things. The well is deep. There's a lot there for us to learn. This morning, I want to challenge us. Our hearts are yearning to be filled with something. We're made that way. We will stuff something in it. Is it going to be? Are we going to fill it with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes? Are we going to pacify it with the pride of life? Are we going to fill it with the wealth of worldly knowledge? Are we going to fill it with eternal life available from Jesus as we study his word? And that's the challenge that I want to let with us this morning, that each of us would personally walk with Jesus, that each of us would personally study his word and allow that to fill our hearts, the need of our hearts. With these thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.